This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Patrick. We do have a Sven Sundgaard visit coming up here a little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour after especially what is wild weather. I mean, it really is something. I posted this morning, Patrick, on Facebook. I had a teacher one time tell me, and I don't know if this was Old Farmer's Almanac or this was science, but or at least the understanding of science at the time, they said, once it starts being able to snow in Minnesota, it's basically impossible for a tornado to form. Well, what do we got now? And it was, I don't know if you, what, I mean, it was, you know, getting updates from Sven yesterday. I was watching the Weather Channel as that storm was coming through. And the Weather Channel people were quite literally stunned at the idea of tornadoes in Minnesota in December. It is there that you could tell they were like, the one guy said, I'm trying to wrap my head around this idea of a tornado in Minnesota in December. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, it was the concern he had. Ugh. Anyway, we'll get into that completely. We'll break down what happened with the storm. We'll look ahead towards the holidays and what we can expect with Sven coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, I've got a doozy of a sound clip to play for you from Donald Trump. Later on, not now, later on. Holy God. Holy God. Yeah. Okay. Some good news to start us off. They have arrested the woman who has been randomly shooting at vehicles in St. Paul. Nice job, guys. According to social posts by the St. Paul Police Department, Latoya Weston, 44, was arrested and charged with 4 counts of second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. Last week, St. Paul police asked the public's help in identifying her when police say Weston randomly shot at drivers in St. Paul and Maplewood, but fortunately no one was seriously hurt. They say Weston is currently in Ramsey County Jail waiting a court date. The department says it appreciates the public help and all the tips and sharing of the tweets as they made the arrest. That is, yeah, occasionally you get that. You get someone who all of a sudden just goes wacky crazy. And that's what I'm, you know, it's mentally compromised. That's about the only thing you can think of. I mean, unless you're just, a sadistic person. I will say one that ran over the groceries up in Blaine, that's not mentally compromised. That's just basically someone being a jerk. All right. And that's just what that says. Something is broken. Something is broken here. And, you know, I'm glad they've caught her. You can't have, no. I mean, you're lucky by the grace of God, if I may add. We're looking at no one getting killed as of this right now. So, nice job there. I'm glad that, A, she's off the street, and B, if, you know, she needs help, she's going to get it. But she's also probably going to be going to jail for a while, which is probably deserved. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Today, is Facebook playing nice? Or are they still banning us? Do we know?
We got it working. You know,
hey!
What happened was it wasn't down. They just changed their settings again, and I couldn't figure out how to make things work. Mm. I don't like it that they do that every 2 weeks.
Well, I tell you what, it's Facebook. They are, or shall we say, Meta. How much does your ego need to be padded that you have to change it? Well, how much did you screw up with your old name, which was making you billions, that you actually abandon it? Okay. Maybe it's my criticism that's getting us thrown off the air. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. 952-946-6205. Hey, maybe if I brand myself as a right-wing, far-right loon ball group, they'll keep us on there all the time. Oh, wow. Wow. That is called a gauntlet being thrown down. Oh, my God. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I got to start with where we ended yesterday. The 38 Republican lawmakers, to my knowledge, none of them are really medical professionals. I don't think any of them are. If they are, it's only one or two. But they clearly are crappy doctors and or crappy nurses if they don't understand that in a medical environment, having everyone vaccinated against a pandemic is the safest way to make sure patients don't get sick. These Republicans sent a threatening letter. It's a threat. They threatened the Mayo Clinic. They threatened Mayo Clinic unless Mayo Clinic got rid of their mandatory vaccination policy. And they try their hardest to say, Joe Biden was stopped by the courts. You don't have to do this. Well, they're a private business. They basically, that was not in place anyway. They were doing this on their own. And they're a hospital, so they're not stupid. So they're doing it because they're medical professionals that believe in medical science. They try their best to say, this is religious exemptions. And okay, the Republicans are trying to play this as religious exemptions. But the problem for them is this, is that if you've been getting vaccinated for other things like the flu shot or meningitis or chickenpox, and all of a sudden, just because Donald Trump has told you not to trust this one or QAnon has told you not to trust this one, that's not a religious exemption. That's you pulling it out of your ass, okay? That's what it is. That's just your politics are the most important thing, and you're trying to use religion, and by the way, big sin, you're trying to use religion to justify your political point of view, which is garbage. And even at the end of the letter, they were like, you know, people, if they just have a conscious disagreement with it, they should be able to. Well, no, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to have a job at the Mayo Clinic. Nothing. There is nothing in the Constitution. They are a private entity. They can basically put this mandate in if they want to. And if you don't like it, well, good luck, because the courts have already ruled they can install this. So now the Republicans, because legally they don't have a leg to stand on, they already know that five or six employees of the Mayo Clinic that are upset that their politics are more important than their jobs, fools. And once again, let's make sure we understand this. This is a fringe element. The Republicans are taking a fringe element and trying to make it seem like this is everybody at the Mayo Clinic. And when we mean everybody, it's like a few, maybe a dozen, six. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's everybody. You know, they're trying to make it seem like this is some sort of populist movement. And what it is it's not. Now, the media will report it as a populist movement because the media is broken. The news media is broken because everything's got to be freaking crossfire. And so you can have 99.999% of people saying, hey, vaccines are good. And one, you know, person with their hand on the back of their pants going, I like paste. And they'll say, see, counterpoint. And they'll give the guy with his hand in his pants basically the argument saying, oh, well, they're equal counterpoint to every medical professional ever. That's just the way they are. But this is fake populism. It's a handful of people, that they're basically trying to make it seem like this is the grandest injustice of all time. No, it's not. Nope, not even close. No. The fact that you're saying that, the fact you're implying that, means you're stupid. Means you're really, really stupid. Boy, you 38 Minnesota Republicans are brick dumb. Dumb. Stupid. I mean, really, like, holy cow. How are you breathing and looking at the same time? Because you're dumb. 952-946-6205. I don't have any problem. You were the idiots. How brazen are you to start giving medical advice to the Mayo Clinic? You stupid idiots. Oh, did you put your diaper on by yourself today? Really? Is that what you did? Wow. I brought up yesterday the analogy of the non-smoking, and I had a few Republicans like, it's completely different than the smoking, man. I can't believe you tried to put it out there. And the fact that they were so mad tells me actually, no, it was pretty close to spot on. And what point was making was, well, the same medical science that says getting a vaccine is the safest and healthiest way to be, make sure you're not, you know, going to get COVID or transmit COVID to anyone else. So as a nurses and doctors, we're going to mandate it and say that's going to be a good thing. The same medical science that tells them that is the same exact medical science that said, hey, smoking ain't good for you. Smoking, not only is it not good for you, it's not good for anyone else around you. Now, back then, and even still today, there are people in this country that argue that smoking isn't bad for you. This is not bad for you. And for many years, the smoking companies, the cigarette companies, the tobacco industry was putting out fixed study after fixed study after fixed study after fixed study saying smoking actually makes you healthier. And they were. So imagine you had a no smoking ban at the Mayo Clinic, which they do because they're a hospital. And somebody that just can't put down the heaters, oh boy, they like those Camel Wines. Somebody basically says, it's not fair that I have to go on out to a smoking area and smoke. The Mayo Clinic should let me go in there and smoke whatever I want to. And their argument would be, well, just because I'm around them doesn't mean they're going to get cancer from one cigarette. I don't understand what your problem is. Just like the COVID. Just because I'm not vaccinated and much likely are going to get COVID and around especially a bunch of COVID patients, just because I do doesn't mean I'm giving it to anyone else. I mean, come on. No, it would be the same exact thing. Imagine the ridicule and mockery we would be giving these 38 Republicans if that was what their letter was about, that the Mayo Clinic had to allow smoking inside the building because there are three people there, three whole people are being persecuted because they like to smoke. You have a handful of people at the Mayo Clinic who have placed their politics ahead of everything else. And the Republican Party of Minnesota is so willing to reward those fools who are jeopardizing their job, the safety of everyone they work with, the patients that they see. They are placing those people as tantamount to everyone else and even saying we are going to punish the best hospital on the planet. A bunch of non-medical professionals. Wow, you are a bunch of morons. I mean stupid. You put your and you proudly and look at the name, all the signatures. They proudly put their name out there. Reading from Dana Ferguson's story, a group of 38 Minnesota Republican lawmakers this week highlighted a letter they sent to a head of the Mayo Clinic urging the health system to drop its vaccination mandate for employers in the wake of other groups around the country dropping their requirements. The lawmakers on Monday issued a news release pointing out the correspondence that Mayo should drop its employee vaccination requirement after federal courts placed pause on the federal mandate. This is a private business doing what they want to do, and they are saying no. It used to be Republicans would never even get into this fight. And now look what they're doing. Unless your policies mimic what Donald Trump says, then we're going to attack you as a private entity. Wow. That is some dystopian crap right there, you moron, stupid Republicans, all 38 of you. The federal rule that was set to take effect this month said facilities could lose Medicare and Medicaid dollars if their workers weren't immunized against the disease. This top-down, heavy-handed, all-or-nothing employee policy does not fit the reputation image we know as the Mayo Clinic to have. Say, you know, yeah, Mayo Clinic. And what's this about cancer being bad? Come on. Cancer is positive sometimes. You know, I just don't know why it's this heavy-handed, all-or-none employee policy about hating cancer as a hospital. Why are you doing that? Paraphrasing, of course. I mean, you can hear it. I'm mocking and ridiculing Peggy Bennett, Republican from Albert Lea. Moron. Mayo now has the opportunity to take the lead in this issue by reverting back to take the lead by making everyone less safe. Wow, you idiots. Bennett wrote the group didn't oppose COVID vaccinations. Of course not. Uh-huh. But you're saying people shouldn't have to get them. So you kind of are. Uh-huh. You are. You're saying you're not against COVID, but basically then you're saying, but if you actually make people get COVID vaccines, now I'm against them. Because that's what you're saying. So they say some people have valid concerns about immunizations. Okay, some people are taking a veterinarian medication to stop horses from having worms and are jamming it up their caboose. I'm not taking medical advice from them. Some people have actually injected bleach into them and ended up in the emergency room. That even required Trump to come back and say, I didn't mean for you to do that. Hydrochloroquine. How many people ended up going to the hospital because of hydrochloroquine? A few. So no, I'm not trusting you people. And the fact that there's some guy over there saying, I take tree limbs and I jam them into my nose. That's curing COVID. The fact that you're trying to give that guy validity, please, you guys have fallen far. And this is not even the only Republican moron story today. It isn't. Our patients with and without COVID are suffering and dying because of the lack of access to hospitals, said Dr. Alice Mann. Part of our training as family physicians is to help patients avoid illness through preventive care. The crushing reality is the large majority of the hospitalized COVID patients could have been prevented with vaccinations. That's called facts, you 38 morons. Since the pandemic's beginning, nearly 49,000 Minnesota healthcare workers were infected with the coronavirus. More than 1,200 required hospitalizations themselves. 47 have died. Well, those numbers don't matter because Donald Trump told us that those people don't matter. So you need to let them not be vaccinated. I'm paraphrasing. Democrats and the GOP lawmakers involved were working to disrupt vaccination efforts with their comments. Democrats said the GOP is trying to do that. The attack on the Mayo Clinic is particularly disturbing, said Tina Liebling, a DFLer from Rochester, said in a news release. It's past time for Republicans to abandon extremism and help fight this threat to our public health. So, you know, once again, here you are. You have a hospital who has the numbers and the facts that say vaccinations are the way to go. And they say, we're going to be telling people to get vaccinated. And no, it doesn't do you any good to have someone idiot there going, you know, they're telling us to be vaccinated. Again, I ain't vaccinated. I don't know where this cough came from, but hey, I ain't vaccinated. I don't think you should be either. You know, they think that guy, the guy who basically is not going to be high risk for COVID, who then wants to go into a high COVID environment, that person, we need to respect their point of view. Seriously, how did you 38 Republicans even dress yourselves today? Were you guys outside going, boy, it's cold. I forgot my coat again. Need coat and shoes. Boy, cold. It's cold again. Seriously, you 38. You actually are trying to school the Mayo Clinic on healthcare policy. You are such brazen idiots. It's just the arrogance and stupidity. It's a combo platter. It's like a twofer. The arrogance and the stupidity you guys put forward with this letter. You're idiots. Wow, you're stupid. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I am never going to laugh at that story at 38 unbelievably stupid Republicans who said, you know who I'm going to start telling what they should do as medical advice? The Mayo Clinic. Uh-huh. Because reasons. 952-946-6205. I'll tell you what, when I come back, I got even another story of stupid Republicans. They've grown on trees at this time of year. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Show. I imagine all 38 of those Republicans have probably a private business. Can you imagine how incensed they would be if someone went to them and tried to tell them how to run their business? Someone with no experience. Say that they're an insurance agent. And I came in here and said, well, here's how you should run your office. And I'm not an insurance agent. And I have no experience in the insurance field. Can you imagine how incensed they would be if I tried to do that? How dare you try to tell me what to do in my office? It is quite literally, and I have talked about this before, it is the Armageddoning of our society. If you go watch the god-awful film Armageddon, he's got space dementia. Oh, my God. Mwah. One of the great elements of that movie, as far, and when I mean great, I just stupid, just unbelievably bone stupid, is the beginning of the film is Bruce Willis sitting there going, you guys just don't respect us. We've just been digging our entire lives. We dig holes in the ground. And that's what we do. And I don't know how to do anything else. And you guys just don't respect us. And the entire rest of the film is Willis and his crew completely disrespecting everyone else on the freaking planet for their job, because it's not about respecting them. It's about this right. That was where this whole thing started out. This right wing fantasy where you got to bow down to my genius, but I'm going to sit and mock you as a stupid bookworm. Because that's where this came from. And that is exactly what these people are doing. Imagine if Peggy Bennett, if I went out there and I said, you know, I don't have any experience in your business field, but I'm going to tell you what you should do. Oh, how dare that liberal Matt McNeil overstep his mouth. He thinks he's a know-it-all and thinks he can stick his nose in my business. But here she is. Here she is. Out there trying to tell the Mayo Clinic what to... The Mayo Clinic! Not some rural farm that's got six staff members. The number one hospital in the country and pretty much the world. They're going to tell them how best to treat the patients in there. By threatening the Mayo Clinic that to do something that's not based on medical science, but based on their political beliefs, that something that will undoubtedly make their patients less safe. Wow. I know 38 Republicans who have space dementia. Wow, you guys are idiots. I mean, that is spectacular. I mean, I'll give it to you. You're swinging out of your weight class, but, you know, you guys are, you know, drooling in the corner, and this is the Mayo Clinic. Oh, but you guys can't stop sucking up to those doctors when it comes time for campaign donations, huh? Am I right? Maybe Peggy Bennett would like me. I don't know. Maybe she would like me to tell her how to do her job. Hey, Peggy, first of all, I would never send that letter to the mail. Oh, too late. Never mind. Oopsies. Got one away. I'll try. Don't send a letter to a professional private business where they clearly are a lot smarter at you at doing what they do, because you're going to sound like a moron. I mean, absolutely a moron. And anyone who signs onto it, they're going to sound like idiots too. Seriously. All right, now I'll let this go. I'll let this go. Come back. Bad Republicans, and I'll get to the Minnesota coronavirus update too. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. And then you can be someone like Todd Colet, who does look at our list of advertisers, unfortunately lives in Spain, and so it's not exactly convenient drive. So what he does, because he loves AM 950, and we really do love him as well, thank you very much, Todd. He sponsors AM 950 like he is this week. You can as well, 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. And Todd's band, Just Folk, they've got a latest album. This is his last song. He's retiring after this. Everywhere You Look, featuring Jesse King. I'll make sure I get the link up a little bit later on. Enjoy that. And once again, thank you very much, Todd. We do appreciate that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let me get this other Republican. This is just beautiful. The Republican Party, all five Republican gubernatorial hopefuls were asked the same first question during Wednesday evening's debate. In your opinion, did President Joe Biden win a constitutional majority in the Electoral College? Not a single candidate expressed confidence in the long certified results. The debate, you see, this is Democrats, if you're smart, this is how you ruin them. Their party has become infiltrated with so many far right loon balls that don't want to accept facts and reality anymore, that vote, and these people have to pander to them. They have to pander to them to get the GOP nomination. And I have zero doubt that all five of these guys, well, maybe not Jensen, you know, Dr. Scott Jensen, the witch doctor, because we say, which kind of doctor is going to show up every time? Is it going to be the actual doctor or going to be the loon ball doctor with the wacky kind of suggestions? Which doctor will it be? Scott Jensen is the witch doctor. Anyway, we don't, you know, he might not, but the other ones are going to frantically say, well, I never said Joe Biden's the president, because when it comes to the general election, they have to win the suburbs. And sure, there's one or two loon balls in the suburbs, but most people in the suburbs are like, yeah, Joe Biden won. All right, Joe Biden, get over it. Joe Biden won. As a matter of fact, funny story, most Republicans want the 1-6 insurrectionist prosecuted. They do. They feel it was an attempt to overthrow the country. They do. Funny story. So they're going to frantically, when it comes to the general election, they're, what do you mean? Where did you get the idea I was against vaccines? Where did you get the idea I was against masks? Where did you get the idea I didn't think Joe Biden was actually the president? I don't know what you're thinking. But now they have to pander, grovel on their knees. You just take what you, all you have to do, you've got five candidates here. You just take their words from this, these answers. And this is the ad number one against whichever one of them becomes the GOP nominee. This is the one. The debate included five GOP gubernatorial hopefuls, Senator Michelle Benson, Senator Paul Gilg, Dr. Scott Jensen, the witch doctor, Mayor Mike Murphy, and Dr. Neil Shah. After opening remarks, moderator Hugh Hewitt, a conservative talk show host and attorney, asked each participant in the following: did President Biden win the constitutional majority of the Electoral College? If yes, how definitive is your conclusion? And if no, please explain which states you think are in dispute and why. The round of questioning begins at, about 10 minutes into the live stream. So, and I want to make sure we understand this. The Republicans, this debate is asking them this question because they want them to answer it. Oh, God, no, he didn't win. Because, and by the way, and this is such a short-sighted idea. I can't believe the people behind this allowed that question to be there. Because you're right. It's red meat for the far-right loon ball QAnon groups that basically think the insurrectionists are innocent victims. That it's red meat for them. But for anyone else, you have just basically, when it comes to the general election, you have basically given them their first campaign video against them, saying, here it is, they don't even think Joe Biden won. Do you want that loon ball in charge of the state? Blah, 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 blah. I never said that. All right. Each candidate, by the way, had 90 seconds to respond. All of them sowed doubt about the 2020 election results, despite Biden winning by 7 million votes. 74 electoral college votes. He kicked his ass. Brandon kicked his ass. Brandon kicked his ass. Sure did. Here's a summary of each Republican's response in the order that they answered. Jensen, the witch doctor. Which doctor is it? I can't know what I don't know. And this is a licensed physician. I want to repeat that line. Imagine you go to a doctor and this is the line they tell you. And they're like, doc, I don't understand why my arm's hurting. I can't know what I don't know. Okay, I guess I need to go somewhere else. Anyway, back to Jensen's response. I can't know what I don't know. And I think we have to take that attitude towards 2020, he said, mentioning a Republican-led audit in Maricopa County that found zero discrepancies. Zero. Run by far-right loon balls. Zero discrepancies. Jansen also said there have been enough shenanigans, adding it's time to address election integrity heel. Yeah, the shenanigans. Boy, my gosh, they just arrested the three Republicans down at the Villages in Florida. They all tried to vote twice. You damn conservatives, you guys keep breaking the law on this stuff. No one else really seems to be doing it, but you guys are doing it all over the place. Stop the shenanigans, Republicans. Stop your shenanigans. Adding, it's time to address election integrity. He also said he believes dead people voted. Okay. Once again, a licensed physician. a licensed physician. He's dead. Now, make sure he doesn't go vote anywhere. All right. We know what happens. You know, tuck that sheet we just put on them under. Come on, make sure they can't get up. Shaw was next. Shaw joked that growing up in Chicago suburbs, he can't tell anyone the last time that city had a free and fair election, so it's not a problem unique to 2020, he said. Funny story is they've been questioned a lot in Chicago, and they actually they haven't found fraud. The Republicans in outstate Illinois always challenge Chicago. Murphy, the mayor of Lexington, said he believes there was voter fraud on a massive scale across the country in 2020, though acknowledged he can't pinpoint the evidence. I would say you're a delusional nut job, but I can't pinpoint the evidence. Well, actually, I know. I can pinpoint the evidence. It's your answer here. That's what it is, Murphy. Because he's not privy to the scheme. Oh, Patrick. How's our scheme working?
Going just as planned.
Well, thank God the mayor of Lexington hasn't figured out what we're doing. Anyway. He also cited a debunked Project Veritas video about the DFL primary in Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. But hey, why deal with facts and truth if you're a Republican? Gazelka. Now, I got to give Gazelka and Benson credit here. They tried their best to, you know, do the, you know, Jack Nicholson, "You're damn right I did," sort of thing from, A Few Good Men. And, he tried to, but they realized they can't because one of those two has got a decent chance of being the GOP nominee. So they kind of hedged their bets. I don't think the election was fair, but I do think we have the results that we have, and the Electoral College is the way that we determine the election, said the former Senate Majority Leader, who won re-election himself in 2020, but has not questioned his results. Everyone else's vote on that ballot is bad, but mine, they're all good. Don't question those. Gazelka added he is not a big fan how it is all played out, called for election reforms. So he doesn't think the election was fair, but then came back and, so he does question the election there. But he do come back with the results that we have in the Electoral College is the way we determine the election. So basically he tries to come back and say, well, it was what happened in the Electoral College, and at the end of the day, that's what happened. Benson initially did not answer Hewitt's question directly, saying that only our job is to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat, later adding, the more we watch, the less we cheat. Okay. You're not talking about sex, are you? Okay, sorry. Okay. If you're talking about sex, the more we watch, the less we cheat. That's kind of a weird one. There's a paradox going on there. It's kind of one of those Spock Star Trek things going, the more we watch, the less we cheat. I'm watching. Hello. Sorry. That just came to me on the cuff. I'm a bad man. That's called a joke. She's clearly talking about the election. The more we watch, the less we cheat. So the next time you go into the election and go to vote, look for that guy. I'm watching you. And then call the police. Asked specifically in a follow-up if Biden won, she replied, he was certified by Congress as having won the Electoral College. Benson also won re-election in 2020, has not questioned the results. So of all of them, Benson probably had the easiest one to walk back. Gazelkas was well pretty there, but they all pretty much put some question out there. He was certified by Congress as having won the Electoral College. So basically she's not saying that he won the more votes. He's just saying he won the Electoral College. None of the candidates specifically explained which state's results they believed were not valid. There have been no evidence of any significant voter fraud in 13 months since the election was held. 13 months. An analysis published this week by the Associated Press found fewer than 475 ballots that were flagged as suspicious in six highly contested states. States Biden won by 311,254 combined votes, meaning that if all 475 ballots were for Biden, they weren't, by the way, that 475, there were a lot for Trump that were flagged as suspicious. God, I mean, especially all the guys down in the villages. It wouldn't make any difference to the outcome. The Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, has found a total of 1,334 instances of proven voter fraud over the past 41 years. 41 years! There's been a total in 41 years. I want you to think about all the effort, time, and money Republicans have put towards this issue. And the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, has only found in 41 years 1,334. But how many billions of dollars have Republicans spent to solve a non-existent problem? If any of those votes would have changed the outcome, I highly doubt it. And it should be noted, like at the villages, all three of the people that were found voting twice were all Republicans. So it's not like you can sit there and say, well, 1,334 Democrats got caught. No. That's all the election fraud. Every single one in 41 years in the entire freaking country. There has been zero evidence of any fraud in that election. Brandon kicked his ass. Brandon kicked his ass. Sure did. Joe Biden won by a landslide, both in the Electoral College and in the general vote. He absolutely throttled Trump because Trump is an absolute total moron. And you guys follow his piping as running through the fields. You do. Many of the cases involve allegations related to municipal races, not necessarily presidential races either, with 86% having resulted in a criminal conviction. The site shows no cases in Minnesota tied to the 2020 election. None. And by the way, I want to repeat this for all five of these Republican gubernatorial candidates on the Republican side. We have paper ballots. If you have questions about the election, all you have to do is just say, I'm going to pay for a recount. And we will give you all the paper ballots. We won't give you a counting machine. And you can count them yourselves. And funny story, as all these loser Republicans keep screaming about voter fraud, not a single one of them has taken up the offer of doing a recount. Well, maybe like one or two races, but that happened on Election Day. But as they scream about it today, there's nothing stopping for them to go on out there and get the ballots to prove their point, and they definitively won't. Not because they don't want to spend the money, but because they already know they're lying their asses off. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'll do the Minnesota coronavirus update when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Maybe for those 38 Republicans, we should find every unvaccinated nurse and doctor in the state, make one special hospital, and if they ever have anything, COVID or non-COVID related, and they have to go to a hospital for them or any loved one, that's the hospital they have to go to. If they don't think it's that scary and that dangerous, then they can go to the hospital with no one vaccinated. How many of them would, it's just more convenient for me to go down the street to the other one. I don't know why, you guys are making a bigger deal out of this than we wanted you to. 952-946-6205. You're a bunch of idiots. Wow. Thursday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 3,805 newly reported cases, 39 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 10,057. Minnesota's test positivity rate on the seven-day rolling average through December 8th is 10.2. Once again, down again, but still well above 10, which puts Minnesota on the high-risk threshold. Through December 15th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 1,583, down from 1,655, a good substantial down, too. That was reported on December 14th. Of those hospitalized, 369 people are in intensive care. That still is pretty high. That's only down from 371, so two less. But the big drop seems to have come in the non-ICU care, down from 1,274 down to 1,214. Despite the big drop in COVID hospitalizations, there are currently only 17 staffed adult ICU beds available in the entire state. Even with 17 on December 14th and 13 pediatric ICU beds available, which is up from 8 on December 14th. As of December 13th, the state reported that 3,707,937 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,471,539 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,463,736 third-dose booster shots. According to the CDC, which cites data from September of 2021, an unvaccinated person was 5.8 times more likely to get COVID-19 and 14 times more likely to die from COVID than someone who is fully vaccinated. The total case count in Minnesota, 975,447. Minnesota has identified 7 coronavirus infections involving the Omicron strain, and only 2 were linked epidemiologically, meaning the variant is spreading within the state. Minnesota has increased genomic sequencing this fall to 3,000 or more samples from positive COVID-19 cases per week to search for variants and track shifts in pandemic activity. Key features of initial diagnostic test results showed public and private labs in Minnesota to select specimens that were suspicious for Omicron. The state was the second in the U.S. last month to report an Omicron infection in a 30-year-old Minneapolis man who had traveled to New York for a large anime convention. Aside for the first 2 who reported domestic travel, no other reported travel suggesting community spread in Minnesota of the variant, said Doug Schultz, a spokesperson for the Minnesota Department of Health, in an emailed statement. 6 of the Omicron infections were identified in people in the Twin Cities, while 1 occurred in someone in greater Minnesota. Yee, that's not good. While breakthrough infections, hospitalizations, and deaths in fully vaccinated Minnesota have increased this fall because of the waning immunity, hospital leaders report that unvaccinated people make up most of the severe cases. Allina Health on Tuesday reported that 331 of 239 COVID-19 patients admitted to the hospital were unvaccinated. Among 89 of the patients in intensive care, 77 were unvaccinated. Wow. It's overwhelming. Still, the vast majority, what's causing our problem is unvaccinated people. It is. It's what's overwhelming our hospitals. It's what's overwhelming on ICUs. It's what's causing, as we talked yesterday, doctors saying people are dying from non-COVID issues because they can't get a hospital bed because there are too many unvaccinated idiots out there taking up every hospital bed and ICU bed. I'm going to say the same exact thing I've said from the get-go. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you with a lifetime of health problems. And I don't want you bankrupt for the next 10 years of your life. The Republicans, I can't say what they're for. But they sure don't seem to be for you not getting sick or dying. They don't seem to be for you not going bankrupt with medical bills or having a lifetime of health care issues related to a preventable disease. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. If you need a booster shot, get the booster shot. We don't really need help getting that. I mean, those numbers, they're still pretty high. A lot of people getting them booster shots. Glad my wife yesterday was able to go over to the Mall of America and get hers. So get your booster shot. Wear a mask, social distance, and be freaking careful. I don't want you dead. It's that simple. Hour 2 of the show. That's up next. 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You know, one of the things that we're going to play an audio clip to begin this hour. Sven Sundgaard, by the way, joining us in a little bit here to talk about that storm and all the weather, the weird weather we've been having. But we're going to start this hour off with an audio clip that we'll play here in just a second. But I got to preface this with two things here, okay? The first is that you guys on the right like to think that when we hear something said by Trump, that's just lunatic, insane, drop, trowel, obscene, flashing people in the middle of the street out of line. That you say, you'll hear us go, whoa, I can't believe he would say something so stupid. And you say, see, Trump's owning the libs again. And no, it's not. We're laughing at him, not because of him. Sometimes we're aghast when he goes and, you know, starts throwing paper towel to hurricane victims or, you know, stares in the sun during an eclipse, stuff like that, you know, mocks veterans of World War I and World War II. Remember when he did that? Oh, yeah. When he basically allowed the Russians to put bounties on our troops. You know, yeah, there are sometimes I'm aghast by that. But you listen to that and say, yeah, he mocked the World War I veterans. That's owning the libs. What? You don't even hear yourself. Because it's only he is the Pied Piper. He starts talking in that god awful voice, and you be like, I just hear music in my ears. You know, St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland, that sort of thing. But you know, you guys got to understand, we're laughing at him, and we're laughing at you for loving him so much because he's an idiot and he doesn't deserve it. The other thing I got to make sure I preface this with is, all right, I want everyone to stretch. All right, stand up. Don't drive. If you're driving, don't stand up. But stretch a second. All right, we're about to listen to a minute and 50 seconds of Mike Huckabee talking to Donald Trump. I don't generally do this. I follow the recommendations of the Mayo Clinic and try to limit the insanity. But we got to play this because this, wow, he is such a delusional nutbag. So, yeah, it's going to be a little disturbing, but you're probably going to be... This is not a parody video. We're not that good at doing stuff like that. This is actually him talking to Huckabee. I think it's on Newsmax. It's on Newsmax. Are you strapped in? Are you ready to go? Patrick, hit play.
America had gone through a long period where people quit saying Merry Christmas.
What?
It was all Happy Holidays.
What?
You deliberately changed that.
What?
And openly said, Merry Christmas, we're going to say it again.
How was that important? Part of my campaign, Mike. You know, the country had started with this woke, I guess, a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Go.
And it was embarrassing for stores to say Merry Christmas. You'd see these big chains. They want your money, but they don't want to say Merry Christmas. And they'd use reds and they'd use whites and snow, but they wouldn't say Christmas. And when I started campaigning, this was in 2015, when I started campaigning, I said, you're going to say Merry Christmas again. And now people are saying it. Of course, they're not saying a lot of other things like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. You know, those names are being obliterated because of craziness. But they are saying Merry Christmas again. We got that. That was a big part of what I was doing. And so I would say it all the time during that period that we want them to say Merry Christmas. Don't shop at stores that don't say Merry Christmas. And I'll tell you, we brought it back very quickly.
You really did. And I think a lot of people appreciated that it was a part of the American culture. It was a part of who we are. It wasn't to exclude anybody. It was just simply a celebration of what America does at Christmas.
And America and the world, but America loves Christmas.
Yeah.
And whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, everyone loves Christmas.
No, they don't.
They'd say Merry Christmas until these crazy people came along and they wanted to stop it along with everything else. So I was very proud of that, actually. Remember, I used to say, we will say Merry Christmas again in front of these massive crowds of people.
There is so many things in that clip. There are so many things in that clip the idea that he's just running around all year round going, Merry Christmas! how about the end of that? When he talks about the Muslims loved Christmas, the Jews loved Christmas. You guys, that you are, if you think this, I mean, by the way, I went back and I looked at the Christmas cards I had, my family Christmas cards. I'm a big old liberal. My family Christmas cards from, say, 2010 to 2016 before he came in. And every one of them says Merry Christmas. It's not like no one was saying it. And by the way, are you saying that you mandated this? That there was you remember, as all these Republicans are screaming about mandates are bad, here he is bragging about, I told you, you better start saying what I want you to say. Yeah. Well, and by the way, most of the businesses didn't. I mean, they're not going to take advice from you because you suck at business. But holy God. They actually think nobody was saying Merry Christmas. And you know he wants to say the black guy that was in office before me. They actually think no one was saying Merry Christmas. No one was saying it at all. And then Donald Trump got in there. And Donald saved Christmas. No. We all said it. Some businesses had holiday-themed cups because they do have. I know. This is this far right-wing thing that Muslims and Jews love Christmas. It's an enjoyable celebration, lots of lights around and stuff. I don't think they're big fans of it. I mean, it's not something like they're stopping everything for. Did you see the menorahs? Never mind. I'm not going to even try to explain that to you. I'm just not going to. Not going to. Wow, that is, these people are convinced, I mean, can you imagine Mike Huckabee could actually come on and say, before you took office, the sun wasn't coming up anymore, it was eternal darkness in this country, and then you arrived, and the sun started coming up again, and you did that! Wow, that is, you people are freaking nuts. You are nuts. And by the way, there's a lot of places that even during Trump's term said happy holidays. Even I think Fox News said happy holidays multiple times on like Christmas cards and stuff like that. I know. Just, it's hilarious. It's just hilarious. I remember you guys, you shouldn't be going to a lot of these businesses. A lot of you Trump fans, you guys forget. You constantly are like, we're boycotting this. Like, you shouldn't be watching the NFL or the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball or soccer or going out to pretty much any coffee shop. Most of the stores are off limits for you guys now. You're sure not going to Disney World. I mean, that's what you say. Oh, that's right. You guys just say that, and then you basically forget it. You just act like your outrage is something, and it's not. God, that's just spectacular. You guys were following that. That's Jim Jones about 1 week before he starts buying Kool-Aid. That is some crazy stuff, man. And listen to him. Yes, I did. I saved it. I saved that baby Jesus. I did. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, they were there with me. Man, woman, TV, camera. Oh, God. It's just, he's your guy. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to get into the Kim Potter trial here. It's going to take a little bit here. The police chief at the time, Kimberly Potter, fatally shot Dante Wright as he resisted arrest on April 11th, testified in her manslaughter trial Thursday that she was justified in deciding to use her taser to gain compliance and also had the right to use deadly force against him under the circumstances. Now, once again, I want to stop. The prosecution arrested yesterday, and one of the last bits of testimony was an expert in in use of force, and that expert came out and said, no, she did not have a right to use that. Their argument here, and it's like she had the right to use a taser, but then said, oh, well, but then she could have used deadly force. But you see, the problem here is this. She says she thought she had her taser. You're trying to say, well, yeah, you know, spilled milk. Sure, Dante Wright's dead. Yeah, sure he's dead. But you know what? If eventually she decided to pull out her pistol and gun him down in the streets, no, that was justified. No, it wasn't. Nothing Dante, first of all, in case you all forgot on the right, nothing Dante Wright, there, we do not have the death penalty in Minnesota, and we sure as hell do not have an instantaneous death penalty administered by local law enforcement. That is not legal in Minnesota. This after the fact, this Tuesday morning quarterback crap, where you keep saying, well, if he would have driven off and if he would have dragged the police off, well, then, if Kim Potter she probably should have grabbed her gun and shot him. If she herself, we've seen the video, she herself admitted she meant to grab her taser. From everything I've seen, that's not the problem. The fact that she used her taser is not the problem. The fact is she grabbed her gun instead of her taser, had it in her hand for 5 seconds, two wildly different weapons, and she fired the gun. And she kept saying, I thought I had a taser. I thought I had a taser. You sitting there and saying, well, you just forget the dead guy. You know, if she wanted to, she could have pulled the gun. She said she didn't want to. This is reckless negligence. Tim Gannon, who gave up his post under pressure in the days after his shooting, refusing to immediately fire Potter, viewed her body-worn camera in the hours after the shooting or much later in the squad dashboard camera that captures when that happened. When I viewed both the camera angles, I had the data in front of me. I saw no violation. No violation of what, said the defense attorney, said Earl Gray. Our policy, procedure, or law. So basically what he's saying is this. You can accidentally, in Brooklyn Center, you can be a cop. You can accidentally screw up what weapon you're pulling as long as someone was doing something, if they didn't turn around fast enough, you could blast them away, and that's proper procedure. Bull crap. You're not supposed to have the right to just gun people down willy-nilly. And I don't care that the guy had some illegal issues. There's no death penalty in Minnesota, for goodness sakes. Not instantaneous either. Asked whether she said the same opinion about Potter shooting Wright with a handgun, Gannon said that's correct. So basically what he's saying is that, yeah, just because they didn't want to be inconvenienced about Dante Wright possibly leaving, that you should gun him down in his car. Yeah, just gun him down. You know, you'll have to run. No one likes running. Do you know how much paperwork we'll have to fill out if he gets away? Well, shoot him. Just shoot him and kill him and done. Great police work. Good job, everybody. Listen, this is what they're saying. They're saying this is a quality kill, that Dante Wright was a quality kill. That's what they're saying. Unbelievable. Prosecutor Matthew Frank objected to the recollection. Let me go this. Gannon brought up that Sergeant Mikhail Johnson was partially in Wright's car on the passenger side and recalled once being dragged himself in the vehicle on the call. He called the experience sheer terror. Prosecutor Matthew Frank objected to this recollection, and the line of questioning came to a halt. Asked about whether Wright was in control of his car and could pose imminent danger to Johnson, Gannon said he was not in control of his vehicle at the time she deployed his taser. So basically, listen to what the prosecutor's doing the point. He's trying to sit there. They're trying to make this argument of, if he would have driven off and if he would have grabbed the car, well, thank God she murdered him right there. Thank God she murdered him right there. But she didn't. And here he is saying, well, there was one time I was dragged. It was terror. No one was dragged, you jackass. Gannon, listen up, putz. No one was dragged. She thought she had a taser. She shot him with a gun. It's that simple. No one was dragged. So stop doing the character assassination by saying, oh, he was kind of doing what they did down in St. Louis. Oh, he was a demon creature. He got laser beam eyes. He was going to kill everybody. Thank God we murdered him in the streets. Stop it. He did not drag anyone. And you bringing that up is inflammatory at best. Frank countered that he wouldn't have that wouldn't mean there wasn't danger to Johnson brought to the proximity. Oh yeah, there's a danger there. That if this would have happened, and if this would have happened, if this was happening, and gunned down Dante Wright. See, justified. No, it's not. Don't give me your hypothetical world. Look at the damn cameras. That's what you said you did, Gannon. You said you looked at the cameras. Don't talk about the hypothetical world out there. Gannon acknowledged during cross-examination that he and Potter were friends who would like to be... Oh, you were buddies. Oh, did she bring good hors d'oeuvres when you guys sit around? You can't get mad at her, can you? Her stuffed mushrooms are divine, right? Something like that? Is that what it is, Gannon? Your buddies? You're meeting on the golf course? Going out and hanging at the beach? Yeah. That should be the number one thing. Who would be at social gatherings or anniversaries and the like, and he would spend personal time with her family. Oh, so yeah, you're not biased at all. Not at all. Not at all. He said after the question that he felt bad for what had happened. Well, you're doing your part. However, he said his friendship with Potter was not influencing his testimony. Now, let me get back to what happened with me when I was dragged. And reminder, if that Dante Wright was in charge of his call, and if that he was dragging that call, oh my God, justified every day. But let me get back to that. So there's a reason I'm an ex-chief. No one gets me to do something or say something I don't believe in. I wouldn't lie. You could also be an ex-chief because you're an incompetent boob. I mean, there's that, too. Just, you're an incompetent jackass. I mean, that's one reason to fire someone, is you're an incompetent boob. Yeah, there could be another reason there. Colleen Freak, Frick, F-R-I-C-K-E. Well, I'll tell you what. I got to take a break. Let's take a break. Come back. I'll do some talk more here. And then there was some interesting post-jury discussion. I'll get to that here as well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So today was basically Gannon, you know, well, if he would have done that, if he would have done this, when it happened to me, boy, was it bad. Trying to make the argument that that was the case. But once again, the problem here is this. She says she didn't intend to grab the gun. She intended to grab the taser, which means when she fired it, she killed him. And you basically saying that if, well, then she would have been justified using the gun, doesn't mistake the fact that those things didn't happen and she shot him. Of course, then came all the buddies, and there's one, there's Frick, Colleen Frick, who worked with Potter. I think she was a remarkable police officer because she's a remarkable person. Yeah, a remarkable person that murdered Dante Wright. Murdered Dante Wright. Chu, the judge, basically sustained the prosecution objection, told the jury to disregard the latter portion of her statement. Other people there. Rochelle Olson is over there covering that. They sent the jury home. Defense has two witnesses tomorrow. Likely they're going to have Potter as a witness, so we'll talk about that. The defense team wanted to basically bring in a whole bunch of other cases against Dante Wright, which do not have an effect here on the case. They're basically doing, once again, what do? Character assassinate the victim. Say, you know, he was really a bad guy, so, I mean, were we really that wrong in murdering him? Nah, not really. Nah, fine. That's kind of their argument. That's what they're doing. I mean, and this is a textbook. This whole case is a textbook case of character assassinate him if he would have driven away, if he would have been dragging a cop. Well, thank God she shot him. Well, he didn't do either one of those things. He was trying to get back in his car, but he wasn't in control of his car, and the officer wasn't being dragged anywhere. And she thought she had a taser, and she actually had her gun and fired one round that went through his heart and killed him. That's pretty much the effort there. So they tried a character assassination about what he could have been doing. He could have had a nuclear bomb in the back of that car. Well, thank God she shot him then. I can do it too. Hey, how about this? If she would have pulled her actual taser instead of shooting the gun, Dante Wright would likely still be alive today. So there's that. The other side of the character assassination, as the defense team is doing, is trying to bring in all of his case, any legal problem he's ever had, and say, well, seriously, look at this guy. He's a bad guy. Bad, bad guy. And, of course, the defense team tries to, we're not saying it's tragic he's gone, but he's just scum of the earth. So, you know, we should be okay. I'm paraphrasing. The good news is, the defense team said they want it on the record. The judge says any bad acts by Wright that Potter was aware of, she'll allow. But Potter was not aware of the other matters. So basically, this attempt at bringing in any problems that Dante Wright ever had with law enforcement to say, see, bad guy, thank God he's dead. But it was still a horrible accident, but thank God he's dead. She's saying, no. She can only go with, because the case is not about Dante Wright. It's about Potter's mentality at that time. And if she didn't know about something, the rest of this stuff is irrelevant, and it's just character assassination attempt by the defense team. I would not be surprised if the defense team tries some way to bring that in. Watch tomorrow. It'll be a mistrial. I'm going to guess it's going to be a quick mistrial. But I wouldn't be surprised if the defense team tries at some point, maybe tomorrow or in closing arguments, to basically bring Dante Wright's non-applicable issues into play. The whole point is this. Dante Wright would be alive if she had actually pulled her taser. She did not pull her taser. She pulled her gun. And she shot him and murdered him in his car, and shot towards other people too. I mean, the reckless behavior that she had is inexcusable. She should be found guilty for this. I mean, is there anyone else on the planet? They say, well, you know, in the same situation, if they had done this, that they'd already be locked up. But here, you know, you have what I saw. That was all. That's good police work right there. A dead guy for misdemeanors, and that's quality police work. Wow. You see, this is why cops get bad names, is because when they're caught so red-handedly screwing up, they can't help but, oh, well, that was quality. That's just good work. That's good policing right there. No, you murdered a guy because you thought you had a taser and you actually had your service weapon, and you should have known the difference because the service weapon weighs a hell of a lot more and has a very different feel than a taser. And as a matter of fact, on the other hip. I am not a fan of this character assassination crap. And whether that's doing mythical scenarios which would justify gunning the guy down, or basically trying to find every bad thing the kid did. And back in kindergarten, he cut in line for lunch. And I'm glad the judge in this case is not going to allow the second thing to happen, but I'm going to bet. I wouldn't be surprised if the defense team tries to get that in there. And then try, that was an accident. Jeez, we didn't mean for everyone to find out that Dante Wright's a horrible criminal mastermind that deserved to die. Where did you get that opinion? It will be a mistrial. I guarantee you that would be a mistrial pretty dang quick. 952-946-6205. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow if Potter does indeed go on the stand. Let's take a break. Come on back. We got Sven Sundgaard to talk about the insane weather when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Real quick before I get to Sven here, I want to mention Lisa's comment. She's watching us. You can watch the radio show if you like. It's radio for your eyes. Go to Facebook. You can watch it on AM950Radio.com or at Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. And her point is, in regards to the Potter case, the fact is because he was a black male, his life was not valuable to any of the police officers. She murdered him and the universe saw it. And considering how the defense is laying out the case, kind of feels like that's the argument. Hey, it was a black guy. Come on, man. Is it really we're going to hold her accountable for that? That's what it feels like. 952-946-6205. That's ugly. Like I said, tomorrow we'll have a lot on it because, if by the stories are true, Kim Potter's taking the stand tomorrow. So we'll have a lot to talk about in this case tomorrow. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Sven Sundgaard, of course, is the weatherman extraordinaire. Patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sven, we made the point, you and I having the discussion, We had a listener contact us about this. This is a great idea. If you have someone in your family the holiday season that likes the weather, especially after the last few days, this is a great Christmas gift idea, is to get them a subscription to your weather forecast, because you're going to have a lot of great content on there.
Yeah, you know, in the particular case, you know, this person's mother was in Duluth. You said, and I don't specifically do Duluth forecast just because, you know, I'm a one-man band right now, so it's going to be very, very much Twin Cities focused, you know, in central Minnesota, western Wisconsin. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about is going to, you know, have statewide implications, you know, and when it comes to snow and things like that, obviously talking about the state as a whole, and especially since that's the only part of the state with any snow left, really.
I want to encourage people, if you're looking for a great holiday gift idea, go get a membership, print out the page, and give it to your loved one. They'll love it. It's great weather content, and especially as we get through winter here, it's going to be something you'll get a great amount of value from, especially with Sven's great take on this. Let's go pre-storm, because you brought up the snow thing. My daughter asked a question, and I have no idea if this is, if we do keep this record, but do we have records for speed at which snow melts in the state?
Oh, you know what? You're beating me to this. This okay. is actually on my to-do list, of because it's going to require going through a little bit of a harder sift through the data. You know, some of our databases, I can look up something quickly, like what's the latest it's ever hit 50 or something like that. But that requires a little bit more digging. So I don't have an answer to you yet, but I think it's close enough where, you know, it's something I want to look at. You know, what is the fastest we've ever melted a foot of snow? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and what just hit me too is you and I talk Thursdays. Between the time we've talked,
yes.
literally, you yes. can't make this up. Between the time you and I've talked, we've had a foot of snow, lost it, and had three tornadoes.
Wow.
I didn't even think of that until this very moment that we've been talking. Because when we last talked Thursday, we were talking about the snowstorm to come.
Yes.
We didn't have snow yet. And the next day we got a foot of snow. And then, yeah, like wild. I mean, sometimes it's been such a crazy year. We do almost have to step back a minute and be like, what on earth?
Well, and it's really? It's not just you. I mentioned this on Twitter. I turned on the Weather Channel last night, and the incredulous looks on these weather forecasters' faces, like, there are tornadoes in Minnesota in December? I mean, yeah. this is so beyond anything. I mean, there is a paradigm. I brought this story up on Twitter as well. I had a teacher one time tell me you could not have a tornado in Minnesota after snow started to fall, because it was just physically impossible. And I don't know if that was a Farmer's Almanac thing they were repeating, or that was actual science. But clearly, regardless of what it is, we changed the rules dramatically yesterday on what is and is not common or going to happen in Minnesota in these Decembers now.
Well, and that's the thing. What, you know, all of our rules, we moved the goalposts. And so it's, you know, there are still boundaries to our atmosphere, of course, but we don't know necessarily what they are anymore. Mm-hmm. So to put it in perspective, the latest we'd ever had a recorded tornado before was November 16th. You know, we beat that by almost an entire month.
Yeah.
That's, you know, no, that's earth shattering in many ways of a record to do that. Now, one can make the argument, you know, prior to 1940, how many, you know, it's not impossible that a brief tornadic storm could go unnoticed in the middle of nowhere, but probably not, because somebody would have known that we had unusual conditions at the time. And we've only had the kind of warmth, just if you look at the temperatures yesterday, we've only had that kind of warmth this late in the season twice ever in our 148 year record. So, and on those days there were not thunderstorms, you know, the normal, you know, December heat wave is a sunny day where you happen to get some modified Chinook air out of western South Dakota, and it spikes up into the 50s for a day, melts a bunch of snow, and everyone's like, wow, and then it's back to winter. You know, it's not this. This is a combination of rare events altogether, which makes it even more rare.
Let's go back to through the day yesterday. Did we did break the temperature record for November or for December 15th, correct?
Yeah, no, we shattered it, actually. And daily records are easier to break because it's just for that one day over 148 years. It's still significant. But so the old record was 51, which is only set 7 years ago. We broke that. And we topped out at 58, but we were close. I mean, I was, you know, we talked about this last week that, you know, a couple models were forecasting 60 and most of us are like, yeah, right. Well, we got awful damn close. And Blaine actually within the metro did hit 61. So there were a couple places, and as close as La Crosse, Wisconsin yesterday, almost hit 70. They topped out at 69.
Wow. What's the record high for December temperature overall? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, in the Twin Cities, it's 65, and it's the very first day of December.
Okay.
You know, generally, we don't hit 60, we've never hit 60 past the first week of December. We've been in the 50s, you know, many times. Even in January, our record highs, a couple of them are in the 50s. But 60, it has not happened, well, and still has not happened past that first week of December.
What was remarkable about the storms that came through is you saw them form nowhere close to us. I mean, they really picked up in Nebraska, and you just saw them form this very terrifying line that just moved to the northeast that was coming in. I can't even remember, even in a spring storm, a storm holding together that cleanly as it moved towards the area. And it was really a kind of a terrifying thing to watch.
Yeah, so I posted a visible satellite and radar loop early in the afternoon as that was all starting to go, and at that point, Kansas and Nebraska, and it looked like a tropical storm in the western plains. You know, and that's part of the thing here is this is, as I said, a combination of rare things. So you did have an unusually low pressure that was able to take advantage of warm, humid air that was kind of already sitting there, but because it was such a low pressure, it literally sucked in and drug up unusually warm, humid air into Minnesota. And that combination, because it's still winter, of course, you know, at one point, you know, it was sub-zero in parts of eastern Montana and northwestern North Dakota, while it was 75 in Iowa. So that 75-degree temperature spread over that distance, about 750 miles, I measured it today, is five times the average temperature gradient for this time of year. Mm-hmm. So that's what creates the pressure difference, which created the wind separate from the storms, just the high winds, because you had such a huge difference in temperature and pressure. So it was a combination of all these things together that led to that crazy-looking storm, and it was a powerful storm, unusual, as you said, even for spring, because this time of year, it's actually the potential's there to be more potent because we've got cold air built up and you still have a lot of heat left because it's the, you know, if you think of the southern states, it's the end of summer there, really. We're winter, but you go down to the south, it's the end of summer, essentially. So whereas in the spring, everybody's still warming up and you have a lot of cold air left. So there's that temperature contrast, but the potential for crazier contrasts exists in the late fall.
Yeah, you had mentioned in one of your forecasts, and by the way, outstanding work yesterday. I loved all the updates that you were putting out. One of the things you said is that, okay, the severe weather, there was a very slight chance of severe weather in like 2001 on December 5th. This was by far the latest severe weather in the state has ever had, and it was, as you've pointed out, we were in the severe category. You said at the beginning of this, three tornadoes is now confirmed. Three tornadoes hit Minnesota.
Three so far. And, wow. It may even be more. They're still surveying the damage. The La Crosse office determined two tornado touchdowns in that far southeastern corner of the state. And then the one that everybody was waiting on, because they're just like, it's got to be, was Heartland outside of Albert Lea, because already last night, those images of the bank damaged, houses with roofs off, and anecdotal reports, at least, that people said, you know, one side of the street, you had houses demolished, the other side, nothing. Well, that's not a typical straight line wind or downburst event from a storm. But you have to go out still and look at and see, okay, where was the data? How did it lay out? Or where's the damage? How did it lay out? You know, and there's a methodical process there, and they're still determining the EF rating. We don't know that yet, but they went ahead because they knew everybody, the world literally was waiting. They confirmed that. So we have at least three tornadoes, and we've never had any December tornadoes before, as we mentioned. And so not only did we have one, but we had three.
The thing which is crazy to think about is that even though that we had the heat down in the southern part of the state, there were still piles of snow that were getting ripped up by a tornado. And the concept of that, I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that.
A snow-nado.
I mean, you quite literally had this. I mean, did any of them, to your knowledge, go for any distance?
We don't know that. We don't know. Yeah, that's all the stuff that the Weather Service is hoping to put out later tonight even yet or tomorrow morning. The tracks, you know, how long they're on the ground, what times, the width, the EF rating, all of that. So we don't know any of that yet. Residents there probably have a better idea because they can see, you know, what neighborhood got hit or not.
Yeah, I was in Iowa once, and there was a tornado, a small one, that came through a cornfield. And I went and drove past it, and there was just a line right through the cornfield. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it looks like. You know,
the best way to do these is by helicopter. I've done several tornado surveys before or gone along, and by air, it's very apparent what's happened, especially in a cornfield. The cornfield is almost made for tornado surveys.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up the tornado they had up in northern Minnesota not that long ago, and you said, yeah, just look at the satellite map. Yeah, look at the satellite map. You'll see the line. It's right there.
That was part of how they determined it, because how else do you get into, you know, deep in the boundary waters and do a survey among all that old growth forest?
Yeah.
You know, that's why it took the Duluth office a couple weeks to determine it. You know, it's a lot easier to drive down to Albert Lee and do a quick survey than it is to go into the boundary waters.
So the storm moved through, and it moved through fairly quickly, at least on the initial side. Yeah. One of the things that I found interesting about the way that the winds were set up is that as that storm was approaching Minneapolis, there were still really strong winds back in Colorado. They had fits over there in Colorado, New Mexico with the winds. You know, what was the trailing of that? How did that work that you had those high winds basically stretching from Minnesota back into Colorado?
Yeah, so those are two separate things. And this was the distinction I was trying to make yesterday. And I think because of such an unusual circumstance, I think it was confusing for people because we had the high wind warning, which covered basically everywhere from Colorado through Minnesota, separate from the severe weather. So the severe thunderstorms themselves were creating high wind gusts. We had 75 to 85 mile per hour wind gusts from the line of storms. And then that lull where it was pretty quiet. And then about midnight and after is when the high winds kicked in here. And that was over a large area. So those were the winds that were caused by that pressure gradient, because that low pressure was so low due to the huge temperature difference set up across the area. And that's why you had widespread wind. It started in Colorado, was really through the afternoon there, and then spread into Minnesota. And now this storm has passed Hudson Bay already. That's the other thing, is how fast it moved. It came out of the Rockies yesterday morning, and now it's past Hudson Bay.
I was going to ask you, okay, so if you get that tight gradient on a storm like that, eventually what happens? I mean, does it just burn off its energy and it kind of starts opening up? Is that what happens there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's anything. Storms, wind are all the atmosphere trying to achieve equilibrium. Everything in nature wants to achieve balance. And when you have, you know, if you want to step back and think in any situation like yesterday, okay, what happened? There was an imbalance. We had a huge temperature difference, unusually warm, humid air too far north, while pretty typical cold air was sitting nearby. And then this powerful storm system that just kind of fell out of the Rockies at the same time. And so all these things were way out of balance. And the atmosphere achieves that by moving air from one point to the other quickly. You know, and that's a thunderstorm's basic point of existence, is even a violent thunderstorm is you have too much heat and humidity in one spot. Instability is what we call that in the atmosphere, where it's relatively too cool aloft to handle that kind of heat and humidity. So it literally explodes. And the thunderstorm is literally vertically moving air and energy from the lower levels to the upper atmosphere. And then what goes up must come down. We forget that air eventually spreads out. So it's literally mixing the bowl, you know, so to speak. If you dump one thing in a bowl of still water, you got to mix it together. And that's what weather essentially is.
The snow, we had some light snow that came through today. That looks like it's over here. This is going to be the last time we talk with you until at least doing the weather forecast basically after the New Year. So what are you, I mean, as we look ahead here to the next week towards Christmas, towards that, are we looking at any major storms possibly coming through?
I don't see that. You know, that's the big question, of course, to a lot of people now is, are we going to have a white Christmas? And so technically, we measure snow depth in whole inches. I'm not going to get into, you know, significant figures for any math or instrument nerd. But so essentially, we have to have a minimum of a half inch of snow cover to round up to an inch. That's how we define a white Christmas. So it doesn't count if you have an unusually large snow pile in your backyard. There has to be an average snow depth of at least a half inch. And we may just pull it off on the lowest bare minimum of the definition. We got that little bit of light snow today. A lot of that was pretty fluffy, so it's going to evaporate and compact. So it looked a little whiter for a while it was coming down. Already you could see today that a lot of it's just vanished, essentially. Mm-hmm. But we do have a chance of some light snow tomorrow night. That looks more favorable for northern and western Minnesota. But a couple models do nudge it in a little closer to the metro. And then there's the potential that we might have a little light snow midweek next week. So there's a couple light sort of clipper systems that do have the chance. You know, if we can get a half inch or an inch out of both, you know, we could barely achieve a couple inches of snow depth. And we'll have to watch Monday, because Monday's the one day between now and then that looks to be close to or above freezing. And hopefully it doesn't get too far past that, because that would melt off, you know, the bare minimum of snowpack that we have. Last week it looked assured, and now here we are.
It's a gamble. And you said it. I think the crazy part is, the last time you and I talked, we hadn't even had the foot of snow, and it's gone. It's just gone. It's just amazing.
Just vanished. The combination of the warm temperatures and, you know, a lot of people noticed yesterday it was foggy to start because the temperature kept going up overnight. That's what really did the snowing.
Yeah.
Because typical thaw cycles, you know, we might hit 40 by day, but then it refreezes at night. And when you turn snow into ice, you actually preserve it because there's less surface area exposed to the warm air. You know, fresh snow melts faster than the old crusty stuff, as we all know, in the month of March, because that stuff freeze thaws, and it compacts into ice, which is slower to melt off. And so the fact that we kept warming it for essentially a 48-hour period, and then you had the drizzle and rain and 58 degrees yesterday, it was toast.
This weather content you can have yourself with the Patreon subscription with Sven Sundgaard. Go to patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sign up. Get it. Like I said, a fantastic Christmas gift. If you got someone who loves weather, this is the gift. Get them this gift. They will love this all year long. Sven, happy holidays. All my best. We'll talk to you for
you
sure
too.
In a few weeks, okay?
Yeah, happy new year. I can't believe we're talking about 2022. Our third year with COVID. Or fourth, actually, isn't it?
This will be
the fourth year, because it started in 2019.
Well, so we'll have COVID tornadoes by the time we get to the 3 weeks. We'll figure this all out.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, dear Lord. Thanks, Sven. We'll talk to you soon, okay, my friend?
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a break. Wrap up the show. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. That was weird, man. And thank God Sven Sundgaard is here to give us an update on that. I really appreciate having him on the air. Get the Patreon subscription. Seriously, get the Patreon subscription. That is just quality weather you're going to appreciate. I asked a friend who is a weather person in Iowa, so when would be a place that until recently December would have been possible for a tornado? And he said, really? He goes, that's the southern border, like Keokuk right across into Missouri. And so I think it's kind of fair for us to say is we don't have Minnesota weather anymore. Go take a look outside. It's December. My dad, when he went to the University of Minnesota in the late 40s, early 50s, said you could not go outside in Minnesota in winter between December and Valentine's Day. You just couldn't. You had to stay inside. You had to use the tunnels at the university. That was then, not now. Now we're basically going to – we got a dusting of snow out there. It doesn't look like we got – there's a decent chance we're not going to have any snow for Christmas. We just had three tornadoes hit the state of Minnesota in December. Never happened before. One thing, just really quick here, Sven, just to give you an update on what's going to be coming up here in the next week here. Of course, back here for show tomorrow, back here on Monday and Tuesday for shows. And then we are taking some time off, but we've got the brand new to you shows. We have had some spectacular interviews. Spectacular interviews. We've got one or two more to record. We're going to have them all ready to go. Basically, the rest of that week and then a good chunk of the week afterwards will all be brand new to you content here, including the return of the AM 950 Holiday Book Club. I'll get the post of all the books you'll be able to go read beforehand to get to the interviews. I'll take care of that as well. So make sure you're staying with us here throughout the entire holiday season because we have brand new stuff all the way through the New Year's. And we got Native Roots Radio up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.